Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop Podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with...
Jason Shear, Shelby.
I'm a little hype. What's good, Tucson? You know?
Today was a day, Shelby.
Today was one of those days.
Just one of them days.
As an Arizona Wildcat that we all go through.
That means that it's bad. And we don't all go through it.
We're seeing it ironically because it was such a good day.
The day started with a flag football game by Brielle.
No, run it back a little bit. The day started with waking up to Dwayne Aquino's awesome tweets.
Oh, okay. So the day started by, the day started, we're going to go through the day and then we'll get to the stuff because this has been a day. The day started with Bobby Wade's hire.
That's true. Okay. Step one.
Which we knew about last night. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, they're not going to break it on a Saturday. Nope. They broke it on a Saturday.
Like, crack it on.
Right. Then Dwayne Aquino says, you know what? I'm going to spike this football right now, and I'm...
Reposting you.
Reposting, retweeting me and Dwayne, besties forever now. Going at Jed. By the way, Dwayne Aquino has 47 tweets since, and they all just get more fire.
He's fired up today.
I'm not here to accuse anyone, but doesn't it almost feel, just by the amount that Dwayne's tweeting, that, like, Jed told him not to tweet?
Yeah, like, you better not do it.
Like, the best tweet, like, as we record this 20 minutes ago, he tweeted, and basically, like, tweeted at Prysock and Dakario Davis to come back. It's like, what? which is awesome.
Which is great.
And then we went to flag football.
We go to flag football. And in the middle of flag football, or right before flag football, the Arizona dropped that video of the three defensive players.
Yes, Dalton Johnson, Gunnar Maldonado, Tradon Stukes, and then you're like, oh, okay.
Okay, so then we're at flag football.
Interesting, that's a crafted video. Then I was a big baller because I opened my trunk and a box of White Claws that I had for Shelby opened, so everyone at the park thought I was an alcoholic because I just had a trunk filled with White Claws.
That was my Christmas present.
Right, and then the game didn't go too great, but Brielle played well. And then went to the basketball game.
Mm-hmm. Jason left early. I stayed with the girls.
A couple things happened at the basketball game. Just, you know, your normal players coming back. 19-point comeback.
Ben Mathurin and all the Pacers were there.
Then after that, we have more coaching news. Or no, during the game, more coaching news. Just comp Ken. Big Ken. Mm-hmm. Getting hired by San Jose State. Mm-hmm. That's going to have dominoes on Arizona. We should be able to get a couple assistants from San Jose State freed up now.
Boom.
Duke just lost.
Also something else happened there. There was another announcement coming back. Speedy Luke.
Speedy Luke's coming back. By the way, you're going to see Jacob Manu.
Jacob Manu.
You're going to see a lot of announcements here probably in the next 48, 72 hours of guys coming back. People are saying, oh, is this guy coming back? Look, I mean, I know this is stressful to Arizona fans, but if a guy doesn't announce he's leaving or doesn't enter the transfer portal, he's coming back.
And not everyone's going to get the big hype video.
like you're not going to see, like, my boy Tyler Loop, who I'm pretty sure is coming back.
They're, you know what? Tyler Loop should get one.
I know, but
he's a goat.
You know what I'm saying. Like, we're not going to see Tyler Loop kicking four field goals, and then he's like, my leg is back. Like, it's just not every guy.
Shout out to Humberto Lopez, man, going right at Jed Fish. That was great.
Such a good day. I just bought Brielle Starbucks at 8 o'clock.
We all got Starbucks. Like, we said, screw it. We had really good dinner.
Texas Roadhouse.
Our older daughter, I did not go to the game because one kid was in flag football and the other one needed to get ready for her winter formal. So
it was
a crazy day, but
let's get to the day.
We kind of recapped everything a little bit, but before we begin, we do have a message from our awesome sponsor.
After these messages.
Happy anniversary, by the way, Andre and Emily. You guys are awesome. Which one should I read here? Investing should be easy. Buy low and sell high. But what seems simple can get tricky in a complex field. It is too easy to encounter pitfalls in the investment space, but seeking professional advice can help you reach your goals. At Longview Insurance and Investments, we're your local professionals based right here in Tucson. Let us help you create a personalized investment portfolio that reflects your unique risk tolerance, time horizon, and goals. Visit our website at www.longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn mas. Boom. Done. Okay, so we actually have questions today.
Dwayne Aquina just tweeted again.
What did he say?
Let's go, Speed Kills. Another huge get for Speedy Luke. Dude, Dwayne Aquina's like...
He's on one today. I love it.
I was a good...
I love
a,
it.
I thought I was a good twatter, but obviously Dwayne Aquina's the best twatter out there.
Also, before we like get to the formal Tweeter questions, okay. I'm going to get my section out. I know you have a obligation to say this as well for Mike. But shout out to Dave Hickey, Arizona athletic director, coming up big this week. I know that if we all felt betrayed by Jed Fish, obviously Humberto Lopez felt betrayed by Jed Fish. I know that Dave Hickey probably, of anyone, probably had some moments that were pretty dark. And he literally... moved on, and he has pulled out a coup. And I don't think necessarily that all the Polynesian players and everybody stayed just because of Dave, but you know, from the hire and then Brennan coming in and being awesome and getting Aquina back, like it's just like all the dominoes started with Dave, big Dave. So everybody make sure when you see Dave Hickey, you say back the Dave, because he did a great job with this hire, and everything's starting to... Turntables have turned from a week ago. There you go, Dave. I did it. And I do like Dave. He's a good guy. So, all right. Well, let's start with the big event of the day. Take us through the Noah Fifita and T-Mac decision that we may or may not have known about, like, you know.
We've known.
Days ago.
Days ago. When it would. Well, we knew days that it would happen. Blair, my guy Blair Angulo. Posted it on our board days ago, and I said he'd be untouchable, so he's funny. He tweeted to get again, he goes, "Hey, Shear, what does exactly untouchable in Tucson mean?" And I said it literally means you get free Sonoran dogs whenever you visit.
Forever!
So we knew why the date was a little fluid, but things started building, and then they said, you know what, we're going to do it today at the first media timeout. I had heard there was a video... A couple other people heard his video. Shout out Greg Biggins for being the only one to get quotes from Noah Fifita's dad.
Big Les.
The thing that actually surprised me was, like, I thought it was just going to be a video with T-Mac, Noah, and Jacob Manu. Jacob Manu's video came out later by himself. And there's other guys that were in the video implication. But the big thing was, it was the whole team.
The whole team. Like, did you guys see Justin Flo?
My boy Justin Flo. It was seriously any guy that wasn't in the portal or on a visit elsewhere, was on the court. It was really
awesome.
Yeah, what was funny is Brennan went on the court, but he was here with a couple assistants, and I don't want to kind of steal their spotlight. If you subscribe to WildcatAuthority.com, you'll probably know who they are. But they didn't come out. They just, like, sat in their seats for the entire game, and I don't think anyone realized who they were because they were just wearing Arizona sweatshirts acting normal. I will say that about this coaching staff. Like, they're a bunch of down-to-earth dudes. Like, they, like, how about this? Brent Brennan is hired as the head coach of Arizona, and he's at, like, Frog and Frickin' the day after. Like, no, like, you'll never see Jed on university. Tommy, you probably wouldn't see at university. He goes to Bob Dobbs once in a while, places like that. But they're just a bunch of down-to-earth dudes. The one thing I actually didn't know that Les told Biggins, which was pretty interesting, is that had they not gone to Arizona, it would not have been Washington.
It would have
been Alabama with Kalen DeBoer. And the reason that's funny is because Kalen DeBoer is the guy that Jed Fish replaced. So that was really interesting that Washington was not in the picture. Yeah, by the way, people say, isn't that tampering, all that? So let me just clear this up. there's tampering. I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. There's tampering in the sense where you may have coaches from other schools calling players that they used to work with, and it's kind of an ugly situation. It is not tampering per se if a coach were to call a parent or a coach of a college team calls a 7-on-7 or a high school coach and says, hey, can you have this kid call me? You're never like, getting in trouble.
It's a little
for that.
Bit of a different. It's like sniffing around versus so, like straight up having someone call
like
the kid.
If a parent gets on the phone and calls Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, that's not tampering. The parent called him, right? So that's how you get around it. Now there is tampering going around where you go directly to a committed player and you say, "Here's a check," and maybe you don't bring a coach with you to your new spot right away, and he tampers a little bit that way. So there's tampering in that regard. But
yeah, and by the way, who's enforcing this? Oh, boo-hoo.
It's the Wild West. And look, I don't want to – that's a whole separate podcast, but there needs to be regulations on NIL. There needs to be a cap of some sort. I think it needs to be public, personally. Like, there needs to be a file or somehow something like that to kind of get everything out there. But – yeah.
As know. Of this moment, that is not happening.
That's a whole different argument. But so I never, based on what I know and the people I talk to and stuff like that, and Shelby will attest to this, at no point was I prepared for them to leave.
Mm-mm.
I think it was always a lean to returning. What's impressive here by Brent Brennan and the recruiting job that he did on that group, Fafita and T-Mac and all that, is they really do not know who the offensive coordinator is. I have asked. Now, maybe Brent Brennan has hinted at the style. Maybe he's dropped a couple hints as to the names. But unless I'm being lied to by multiple parties, Arizona does not have its offensive coordinator yet. That could change in a heartbeat. You know, that's just how things work. But people always ask, like, why does it take so long to hire coordinators? It takes long to hire coordinators, long being a week. And which isn't long, but everywhere, like Jed doesn't have a defensive coordinator yet, for instance, right. At Washington. So I expect those hires to come. But
and I work for a government entity, and I can attest, like, I think everybody forgets that Arizona is technically a state of Arizona entity. It takes forever. It takes forever to do anything. So it's really not surprising.
I would expect for sure coaching.
Sorry, I'm dying.
Multiple coaching announcements this week. For sure. I would be shocked. Earlier in the week, too. But, yeah, I mean, again, just to sum up the decision itself, I never really got the vibe that they were leaving. It was just a matter of hearing about, making sure the relationship, and credit to Brent Brennan, because that was the first thing, if you read the interview I did on the website, he said roster attention was the only thing he was focused on at this point. And he was meeting with these guys individually, it's their family. He has spent a ton of time with these kids as much as possible, getting to know them, like not even talking football.
Yeah.
Just being like, here I am as a human being. And well, clearly that paid off.
Lev had a tweet today somewhere in all of the craziness where he's, I think it was Lev, said that he spent most of Thursday with a ton of kids and they did not talk about football. He didn't put any pressure on anybody. It was literally just a hang. And I think that probably was really impressive to everybody.
And it's like, if you ever get the pleasure of meeting Brennan, like when
like,
I...
Like you?
Well, that's what I was saying. Like when I interviewed him, we started our interview by not talking football and we ended our interview by not talking football. It had nothing, like our conversations was about his son and our first conversation was about mutual friends we have. And it's like, well, shit, I guess I need to do my job now. But very easy, laid back to talk to. And I think it's going to be a different vibe from him in a good way.
Didn't we were talking in the car yesterday and I said he kind of reminds me of Pete Carroll. Like yeah. Just vibe wise, just like that California.
I typed that on the website and it came off as Peter Carroll and someone goes, "Sheer, you're so distinguished," but I didn't change it because Peter Carroll sounds funny.
Sir Peter Carroll. All right. Well, what impact do you think that like their return, T-Mac and Fafita, has on others?
Well, did you see how many guys were on the court?
I did.
I think that pretty much answers your question.
Sums it up. Well, you wrote the question,
look,
dude.
At the end of the day, well, yeah, because of this reason. There's going to be some guys that leave no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Tia Sevilla is very close to Johnny Nansen. He is on an official visit to Texas this weekend. I would fully expect him to go. And I want to be very clear here, right? don't diss these kids for what they do.
Yeah, don't do any nasty memes.
Right, like
don't
Tia Sevilla is very close to Johnny Nansen. If he goes to Texas, that's awesome for him. Seriously. And he's very, he's very well liked. Jonah Coleman is going to wind up at Washington. It's going to be a little interesting if Arizona brings in Alonzo Carter, because I believe Zoe and Jonah Coleman know each other, but it'll probably be too late at that moment. Because look, Scotty Graham and Jonah are very close. Of course. And so if Jonah goes to Washington, so be it. Good. And Jonah's got a unique family situation as well.
Make that money.
There's going to be guys that still wind up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
There are also a couple guys in the portal that could very well withdraw. Keon Burnett seems, if everyone's coming back, a new head coach that likes using the tight ends. I believe Brendan already has his tight ends coach, and it'll be announced early in the week. I believe he's bringing the one from San Jose State, younger guy, kind of an up-and-coming riser. If Burnett likes him, does he come out of the portal? Yeah, I think there's a good shot. Dakario Davis is going to have some conversations. I think that is a legit possibility. Prysock, probably up in the air a little bit. But there are guys in the portal. Isaiah Ward's uncle is Bobby Wagner, who is a Seattle Seahawk. Anthony Ward is in the portal. Isaiah has not entered yet. Maybe they, I've heard that Isaiah is impressed with Brent Brennan. Maybe they convince him and Anthony Ward comes back. Because remember, Anthony Ward was also a walk-on, so maybe he just wants to play and go somewhere with a scholarship. But I was not exaggerating when I said if Noah Fifita didn't return to Arizona, it was going to get ugly. I had multiple players basically tell me that they were very upset about Nansen and all that. And I think Brent Brennan did a fantastic job of explaining everything. Those players have reached out to me in the past 48 hours or so and said, I'm staying. Newcomers, whatever it may be. And, you know, I love Johnny. Like, I respect Johnny and all that, but that's also one of the reasons why you kind of just need to make the best hire possible and roll with the punches a little bit if they come. If Arizona retains the team, which they do, and they hire Brent Brennan, no offense to Johnny, he could very well be a head coach, good head coach, but it's a different animal.
Right.
So Arizona's still going to lose some guys. Like, don't be shocked if on Monday a few more guys enter the portal. But I think the ones that, I'm trying to say this nicely, I think the core of this team and the guys that really made it the most successful are coming back. Leif Magesantomi is coming back. Josh Baker's coming back. Speedy Luke is coming back. Kevin Green was stoked about the Bobby Wade hire. The newcomers, Brandon Phelps, Dylan Tapley, know Bobby Wade. He was the ASU offensive analyst. He coached at high schools in Phoenix. So, like, Bobby Wade has good relationships with a lot of these Phoenix kids, and we'll get to that coaching stuff next week. But, you know, you're going to see dudes that are legitimately, I'm coming back. Like, we're seeing little graphics. Shout out to the graphics guys, by the way. They're just,
oh, my God.
They're just shitting out videos. I
feel like one thing that's really underrated, especially, I think this goes back to, like, Rich Rod era, is really that videography team. And they're really good at, like, training the next videographer, you know, the team behind them. So every year someone graduates, it just gets better and better. It's just, it's insane. Some of the videos that they've put out and they continue to put out.
Jed's trying to take them too, by the way.
Of course he is. Jed's trying to take everything.
Dude, I'm getting serious with Jed. Like, he, from what I understand, he's basically given a blank check and say, come get who you want.
And the fact that he's getting thwarted is great.
Well, with like coaches though, he got
that's true.
You know,
he got who he wanted.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it kind of is what it is. But again, like really just fun day. We're gonna move on to the basketball game, but the football stuff is it's only gonna get more fun this upcoming week with coaching stuff and more returns. And I'm just saying, like, don't.
Well, and also, if Jed had stayed, there were gonna be portal movements anyway. Like people were gonna leave. You know, move on, coming in and out. And then there's also the chance of, like, who – the exciting part to me is, like, who is Brent Brennan going to be getting now?
Well, that's – and also, like, so it's a dead – I know we're getting –
technically dead period.
Dead. I know we're getting deep into the woods here. But starting on February 3rd, it's a dead period. Next week's the last visit weekend, I believe. So does Brent Brennan bring in anyone somehow in a week for visits and try to get commitments? Does he wait until March, you know, early March and start spring ball later? Like, he's got a lot of stuff he has to decide. But it's not like Arizona's so depleted right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's only lost...
like 3 years ago.
Right. It's only lost, like, 9 guys. And I know that sounds silly, but you're also bringing in some freshmen. I think Arizona will be fine. But I'm just saying, like, business is picking up. And it's a great time to join WildcatAuthority.com.
Okay, last thought on this.
By the way, 60% off ends today, Sunday.
Perfect.
Okay, go ahead, sorry.
Just all of us understand this, and I think it'll be something that'll last the test of time. This is an unprecedented move in this corporate America world that we live in. And my favorite thing today is, like, I showed Jason a tweet, and I'm sure everyone saw it, or some, I think University of Washington, I think Jed Fish might have retweeted it, was like, you know, come to Seattle. It was like showing all the businesses there. And I was like, this is literally the story that we're telling here is, like, you know, millions and millions of dollars that Jed Fish left for versus staying for loyalty. And it's not that Humberto Lopez and the NIL collective aren't taking care of these kids or taking care of them more than they were under Jed Fish. But I think that it's something to be said for, like, this being, like, a really, truly special, unprecedented moment, not just in Arizona history, like college football. In general, like, I think this is going to have a big impact in showing that it's not always, this is not always about what these kids want. There is something to be said about culture. There is something to be said about the family and that feeling, how does this make me feel? Like, I feel good going to practice every day. I have a coach that loves me and doesn't make me feel like shit. That's important. And I think that that's going to put all of these kids that stayed in unprecedented, unusual slash, you know, great setup situation for life. So what a lot of different of a tone than we were at 6 days ago. If you listen to the podcast of that Black Sunday, basically we were pretty upset, but like everybody. So anyway, moving on to the basketball game. What was the difference for Arizona?
I don't know. That game was wild.
Well, it's Arizona versus UCLA.
I know, but
it's,
like,
going to be crazy.
Arizona came out looking like crap. UCLA is hitting open shots. And usually I'll be like, oh, UCLA can't miss. They're doing stuff they don't normally do. But I didn't think the shots, like, they were all open, you know? And so it's like, these college players are good. So they're going to hit open threes for the most part. And they were hitting, and Arizona wasn't guarding, and they weren't running through screens, and their rotations were slow, and it's 32-13, and I'm thinking these dudes are about to ruin this whole damn day.
I was upset.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, actually, I got a confession to make, and I hope no one judges me for this. We got home from flag football, and I was so tired this morning, I couldn't wake up, and it's, like, kind of unusual for me. So Aurora and Brielle were getting Aurora ready for her little winter formal, and I just kind of laid on the couch and closed my eyes. I took a very rare, unusual cat nap because ASU was playing USC, and I was like, who cares? And the girls didn't wake me up. So when I woke up, Arizona was losing 30-13. I was like, what the hell is going on? It was like a backwards world for a second, and I had to kind of get oriented after that nap that I took. So after that, I was invested.
It's 32-13, and, you know, it's not looking good, but then Arizona starts chipping away a little bit and somehow gets it to 9, and you're like, okay, Arizona's probably going to come back. And then UCLA comes up and starts the half with 6 straight points, and I think Arizona was 0-6 or maybe 0-7 to start the second half. It goes back up to 15, And you're like, yeah, Arizona just doesn't have it. By the way, I always keep an eye on the spread during games. I don't bet on it. But I always keep my eye during the spread because they have a good indicator. And Arizona was actually favored until that 15-point lead in the second half. Even when it was down 32-13, Arizona was favored. So Arizona's trying to come back. And then there were two plays that I thought changed the game where I thought to myself, okay, Arizona's winning. The Cronin technical.
Oh, classic
and
Cronin.
And the Kenneth Nwaba, whatever his name is, missed dunk. The missed dunk is actually probably the most overlooked play. No one's really talking about it, but that changed the game. I mean, he misses that dunk, and it leads to a three-point play by Caleb Love. That changes the whole game. But I just thought Arizona pressured the ball more. And I hate to say it, but it was effort. Like, a lot of it was just effort. For whatever reason, Arizona came out, like, lackadaisical.
Super cash.
And UCLA was playing much harder, and then something clicked, and all of a sudden Arizona's playing hard. And look, at the end of the day, like, basketball is also a real simple game to figure out. If the ball goes in, you win. And if the ball doesn't go in, you lose.
Right.
And Arizona in the second half shot 48% and UCLA shot 34%.
Mm-hmm.
There's your game.
Well, they missed four open threes the last 2 minutes.
Right. And Arizona also went to the free throw line because, according to Mick Cronin, we all gave in. And, like, when I've never been to church, but, you know, one of those church collection plates?
Mm-hmm.
It was like that for the rest. We all just passed it around McHale, and I can't stand
You've been to Mass a few times with me.
I can't stand Mick Cronin. I cannot. Let me go to the side here a little minute.
I love it. Do it.
Shout out to my guy, Justin Spears. So
Justin Spears, we love you. Emailed
Mick Cronin. Emailed.
He emailed.
Interviewed Mick Cronin. And Mick Cronin has never met Spears in his life. And so after the game, and I was right there, Ben Bolch with the LA Times right there, whatever. And I actually tapped Brian, and we both stood up and looked. A fan went with his hand over. So if you know by the tunnel where the opposing team goes in, there's like a little rail. All the fan did, this kid did, was put his arm over the rail to tape the UCLA players.
Mm-hmm. Which is not illegal.
Right. And it wasn't an inch away from anyone's face or anything like that. And Savino lost his shit because, and I saw him with his hand, he was making the motion like going over and just started like yelling at the cops like, you're allowing him to go. And the kid wasn't doing anything. And that's why the cops weren't really doing anything either. They were looking at Savino like, what do you want us to do? Tase him? Like, I don't understand what he's doing right now. Like, he's just taping you. And then the cops told Savino to get to the back, and then Savino came out again, which isn't in that video, and started to go back. And then an ops guy came out. It was stupid. But Spears said, hey, what happened with your assistant or in the crowd? And Mick Cronin goes, nothing happened. I wouldn't expect anything less from you. It's like, what? Like, you haven't even met Spears. Like, he's such an... And then, of course, he blames the refs. And I've never seen a coach blame every single person except for himself. Your tech did not help. He put in a lineup in which Arizona came back, in which he had a horrible lineup. I don't remember. I even turned to Brian and said, if Arizona can't come back now, it's over. And that's when they started to come back. Jan Vide came in the game and was awesome, right? He turns the ball over once or something like that. I don't remember if it was turnover. He didn't grab a rebound. He had 6 points in 5 minutes. He only played 5 minutes because he made one mistake and Mick pulled him.
Yeah, it was weird.
He was great in his 5 minutes. He was awesome. Like, it just the guy is dreadful to play for. I don't understand how, like, everyone is to blame but him. It's just wild.
I love that he literally lives a gaslight philosophy. Like, he immediately forgets what happened in the game he was just in, and he's able to try to, like, twist what happened, the truth and everything. It's crazy. And we did watch we watched the end of the game. I like fast forwarded through it. I don't understand how he gets away without being literally thrown out of the game. Like
I mean, he got a tech, and then
any
he goes,
other coach that said, yeah, like, fuck you, you fucking MF-er. Like, you can't. How does he do that? Throw his ass out.
Shout out to the ref though for walking away.
I know.
But yeah, I just think the pressure was the difference. And then again, it's just you're making shots at the end of the day. It's
yeah.
That's the game.
Well, Mac was impressive, obviously.
Yes, but, you know, I'm talking about Arizona started making shots. And if you make shots, you're going to – that's basketball. You could have the best defense in the world. You still got to score.
Right. Okay. Who is your MVP?
I'm going with a little different one. The easy answer is Pella.
I was going to say, my Pella. Appella needs a shout out.
But I'm switching it up. I think KJ Lewis was the MVP.
I would agree. I still would go with Pella, but I'll say KJ.
Pella's fine. If you want to go with Pella, I'm going a little different. KJ had 13 points, made all his free throws. I thought he was the difference because of his energy.
Yeah, he always comes hard.
He played 16 minutes in the second half.
Okay, don't. I didn't mean it that way.
He played 16 minutes in the second half, and his energy was contagious. Like, when Arizona needed to play, he was there. And, you know, his shot, Tommy Lloyd has been confident that it's going to come around, and it's starting to come around. The form looks good. And he's a guy where, you know, Tommy's right. He brings it every game. And there's going to be some games where maybe he doesn't play as much because his shot's on or whatever. But when you're playing a UCLA team that's physical or whatever, and you need to match that, I mean, KJ, and the biggest thing with KJ is the moment's not too big. Like, it's not easy for a freshman to come in there and play that style that UCLA plays where they try to goat you into fouls and stuff like that. And KJ did it. Like, I was very, very impressed by KJ Lewis. I thought that was the best game of his career so far.
Okay. What other players stood out to you, starting with Pella?
Okay, Shelby. God, you're big Pella. I don't know the word. Yeah, I mean, Pella is awesome, right? 22 points, 8 for 8 from the line, 4 assists, 1 turnover. When Pella, and look, it's something that we've said all season. When Pella is aggressive and looks more for a shot, he's awesome. It's the days where he's not looking for his shot.
Right.
Like, he's 2 for 7 from 3 today, right? I'd rather him be 2 for 7 from 3 than 0 for 1. Because 0 for 1 means he's not looking for a shot. He took 12 shots today. That's a lot for Pella. That's the second most on the team behind Caleb Love. That's fine with me. Like, he should be looking to take 12 shots. He's that good.
Uh-huh.
So when he plays aggressive like that, it is a very good thing.
It's because he got that dog in him.
Oh my gosh. The matchup that I said intrigued me the most, the easy answer was Ballo versus Adembona. That was the most fun matchup of the game by far, and Ballo was absolutely fantastic. 17 points, 13 rebounds, but Shelby, my guy went 7 of 8 from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And he has changed, and I don't know if it's going to look. I don't know. Who knows how long it lasts, but he changed his form. He said instead of making it 2 motions, they worked on him on making it 1 motion, and someone asked Tommy about it, and he's like, I'm not telling you my secrets, basically. but he was just more comfortable at the free throw line, and he was absolutely fantastic. And the biggest thing with him is that he was making layups, right? Like, Arizona for the past couple weeks has been one of the worst teams ever at making layups. It was 12 of 18 today, Shelby. There's your difference, man. Like, it's hard to make a layup. It's not as easy as people think. You're getting hit and all that. But, I mean, that's just like, you got to make them, right? And that's a huge part of basketball, making them through contact. And I thought Arizona did a good job of that. And then other, you know, they got little contributions. Crevis didn't play as much. He only played 6 minutes, but I think this was a rough game for him. I like Crevis, but Crevis on Bona is not good for Arizona. It's just not. Jaden Bradley was okay. You know, Boswell was okay. Boswell didn't shoot great, 1 for 6, but that three he made was huge.
Yeah, steal and then the three.
So, you know, and he was able to get a couple of rebounds, get a couple assists. And, you know, it's Caleb Love is 5 of 16, but at the same time, it's the same thing that we've said all season where this team's just not going to win this game without Caleb Love. Like, it's just not they're just not – they need a guy to be able to score. Like, the three-point play was clearly big. He hit a big three or two. Like, they just need him. And he took some really awful shots. But at the same time, when you need him the most, he'll come up and get a bucket, and it's the full Caleb Love experience.
And he got his put it on the poster, slam dunk at one point. That was cool. And when Arizona was down that much, and when I was watching in the middle of, like, getting a kid ready for winter formal and all that, I kept going, please don't lose in front of the Pacers. Please don't lose in front of Ben Mathurin. Please don't lose in front of TJ McConnell. And so it was awesome for them to dig it out and really, you know, shift. The only thing that I'm a little anxious about, you know, as we get through the rest of the season, you start getting into hopefully, obviously, postseason NCAA tournament, is this, like, latent starting, you know. And it's one thing to kind of screw around in the first half, but it shouldn't really ever bleed into the second half. And, you know, like, unprecedented being down by, you know, almost 30 points, whatever, that's not usual. Usually when Arizona is within 10 to 12, you know, or less at the half, they come back. I don't know what Tommy says at halftime. I always joke with Jason that he's threatening, you know, their families or like their firstborn child. They come back and they are like energetically a different team. And today was a little concerning, and I don't know if it was the moment. You're playing UCLA. I thought that the McHale was rocking. Like, it wasn't a crowd thing. You can't blame the crowd. You literally, what more motivation do you need? Like, Arizona basketball needed to win this game because it would have really been a downer after that big football announcement.
It would have been a bad loss.
It would have been a really bad loss.
It's not even a downer. This would have been a bad loss. We talk about good losses and bad losses and how road wins are never as bad as fans make it out to be. Home losses are bad. There's just no way around it. This would have been a bad metric, seeding, all that type of loss. So it wound up being a very good win for Arizona.
Yay. Are you a believer in a win like this leading as momentum?
I am, because I usually am not. I'm kind of mixed on this, right? Like, I'm kind of mixed sometimes. But the one thing that I liked is at the end of the game, or towards when Arizona started to make that run, I think it was one of the first times where the team, like, really, really came together.
Galvanized.
Yeah, like, it looked really genuine, like, okay, we're in this together. And that's something that maybe we haven't seen as much as of late. We're going to know as soon as, I mean, the Oregon road trip is not easy. So we're going to find out very soon. But I do believe that a game like this has the ability to kind of make things click, wake guys up, and say, look, like, we can do, when we play hard, like, we can come back from 19 points, but we shouldn't have to come back from down 19 points.
Right. Well, I do think of the Michigan State game. You know, we've said this several times in the podcast, like Tom Izzo being really critical. Like, we lost that game in the first half. Like, we definitely should not have been playing from behind most of that game. And then, you know, they did come back there at the end, and then Arizona won late. But that's what makes me a little bit nervous. We'll find out if that storyline continues or if they are galvanized as a team and they realize that, you know, they should be playing like that every time. So, yay. It was a great day.
Fantastic.
Great day to be a Wildcat.
We'll see what tomorrow brings.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, there's like a whole bunch of hashtags now that are getting kind of spawned from all of this fun drama. I think, you know, family stays, families stay. But I think I like the family, just family.
No matter what the hashtag is, though, show, there's always one thing you got to do.
No matter where you are. No matter what you do. No matter how much money Jed Fish tries to give you. You always bear down, baby.
They should literally have videos, like, of everyone coming back. Like, tomorrow it should be, like, the team caterer. Or, like, the guy in the kitchen's like, I'm not leaving.
Well, what about the sports information director? Just like, I will be running this press box.
The omelet maker on Sunday mornings. Jed tried to hire me, but I'm not flipping to UW.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.